So you should be able to take a Muslim and a non-Muslim, and you should be able to identify which one is the Muslim and which one is the non-Muslim. They should be distinct in many ways. But is that the case? I mean, if you take, for example, some of our youth, you know, their aspirations, their dreams of what they want to become and what they want to be like, many times are no different from the kuffar. The idea that they're going to become a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and put that above and beyond anything else is not even in their minds. They're hoping to land a basketball contract or a football contract or become a rap star or a comedian, you know, and get on the Tonight Show. When I was a kid, that was the big thing, get on Tonight Show. Don't know about now. I guess get on MTV and that kind of stuff. This is what they're hoping for. This is what they're dreaming to be like. So you know that it, when it goes down to the basic aspirations and the basic beliefs, you know that we have fallen into a big disease here. That when it gets to that level. First, it starts with the clothing. You know, as psychologists, they have this kind of concept that if you start with the outward, the inward will follow. So you tell people to dress a certain way, you convince them to change their way of clothing. So you change their outward, and sooner or later, their inward is going to change. And if you can also control their behavior. So you not only change their outward, but you change a little bit of their behavior. And sooner or later, you can work to change everything. And there's obviously a number of reasons why it is prohibited for Muslims to imitate the kuffar and to try to be like the kuffar. The most obvious one is the fact that it's going to lead them away from the Sirat al-Mustaqim and may lead them to very dangerous results in the end. But one of the things that exists is that usually this imitation and this emulation, first of all, again, it is based on some kind of appreciation for the way of the kuffar, or for the way of the person you're imitating in general. You don't imitate someone unless you have some kind of appreciation, right? I don't mean to pick on rap stars, but suppose you think that the rap culture is disgusting, okay? You know, the drugs and the violence and what they sing about and all that. Suppose you think that's disgusting. So the rap culture is the songs, the music, what they sing about, and also the appearance, the gestures, all that. I'm not going to do any of them for you. All of that is part of the culture. Now, if you think that's disgusting, and you don't like that way of life, are you going to walk out the door looking like one of them? Because you don't have any appreciation, you don't have any respect, you don't have any desire in your heart to emulate them. So when we start emulating al-maghdubi alayhim and al-dhaleen, usually that is based on some kind of respect and admiration and love for them. And so we start appearing like them. We want to be like them. I want to be like Mike, you know the expression. So we start becoming like them. And especially as I alluded to one time before, when they are controlling the dunya things and making themselves look civilized and making themselves look like they are the best of people, it becomes easier and easier for people to fall into this trap and to start to emulate them and to start to really respect them and look up to them. And what happens, by the way, when they look up to them and try to be like them? One thing that almost always inevitably happens is then they start looking down upon the people who are not like them. So then when they see someone dressed like a Muslim, for example, you know, they don't like it. Women, for example, some women who become westernized when they see other women wearing hijab, they don't like to see women wearing hijab. They look down upon it. They show disdain for it. Men who are always wearing, you know, three-piece suits with the power tie and everything, and all of a sudden they see someone wearing a qamis or whatever, they look down upon that person. So you also have this thing happening. When you emulate one people, you have a tendency then to look down upon the other. And what then it becomes even worse is, who do you want to associate now with? You want to be coming out of a building and being surrounded by people who are dressed as Muslims and you don't want to be identified with them? Right? If you look down upon that way, you don't want to be seen with those people. So it's going to even affect even if you want to go to the mosque and be seen by people who dress like that. Or you make sure you choose a mosque where everyone dresses the same way that that you dress. Now the seriousness of this, of course, I cannot underemphasize the seriousness of it, because in reality we are looking toward other people to emulate. We are not looking for the people of Sirat al-Mustaqim. We're not looking for those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed. We're not looking for Nabiyeen, wa Siddiqeen, wa Shuhada, wa Salihin. We're not looking for them anymore. We're looking and getting our guidance and getting our way of life from other people. We have the Quran and Sunnah. There's nothing greater than the Quran and Sunnah. There's no guidance better than the Quran and Sunnah. But we're ignoring it and taking our leadership and our guidance from other people. Obviously, there's many points that we can make on this issue of imitation of the kuffar and being aware of their different paths. I'll just end with one important point. And that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed this ummah. Right? We keep saying, Surat al-Ladina namta alayhim. We are, the fact that we are, alhamdulillah, been guided to the straight path, this is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now how do we treat this blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? As part of this blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are supposed to be examples for the rest of mankind. We are supposed to be witnesses against the rest of mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. Thus we have appointed you a middle nation, a sirat al-mustaqim, in between the balanced nation, not from al-mughdubi alayhim, not from this extreme, not from al-dali, not from this extreme. We've made you a balanced and best nation also, it means that you may be witnesses against mankind and that the messenger may be a witness against you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has told us in another place in the Quran that the witness against us will be the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we are supposed to be a witness of the truth, witness to the truth. Now if we're following their ways, if we've given up so much on Islam, on the straight path, and we're actually following their ways, and by, as they say in the West, imitation is the greatest form of flattery. So when we imitate them and emulate them, we are basically telling them, look, what you have is better. Yours is the way. So when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're supposed to be witnesses against mankind, yet we're following them and showing them that their false ways are the things that we really like. How are we going to be able to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and explain ourselves on this point? How is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to hold us responsible that we're supposed to be witnesses against mankind, and instead of adhering to the truth and showing the people that, look, this is the truth, and I'm not going to give it up for any of these minor things that you have of this dunya. Instead of showing this, we are taking them as our example. How are we being witnesses against mankind? They're going to come on the Day of Judgment and say, these people were following us. You can say we are a fitna for the disbelievers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us in the Quran to say, رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. O Allah, do not make us a trial for those who disbelieve, and forgive us our Lord, though you, only you, are the mighty, the wise. We are a fitna for the disbelievers. Because we claim to have the truth, and we are the only ones left. There's no hope in al-mughdubi alayhim. There's no hope in al-dhalin. Al-dhalin cannot go back to even find their sources. We are the only ones with the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so if we are not following it, don't expect the disbelievers to. And if we're following them, don't expect that all of a sudden they're going to turn and say, oh, well, what do you have? It doesn't make sense. And the more we follow them and the more we are negligent of even what we're making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and over again and ignore what we're asking for, the more we are a fitna for them and the more we may be responsible for that, obviously, on the Day of Judgment. So this goes back to إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. If we're following their steps, we're not worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not doing what we claim to be doing when we say إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. We're asking Allah to guide us to this path, but we're showing by our actions, by our steps, that actually we want these two other paths. And this is very, obviously, very dangerous sign for our dua that we make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَقُولُ لَقُولَ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ